Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin, and our friends Rick Tyler and Ed Short are not in the studio today. They will be back with us soon. We've just had so many things going on in ministry. We have Bible studies going on. We have midweek Bible study here, and we have individual Bible studies as well. And we just came off of the Bible series. We just finished up this past Friday, and it was quite a blessed week. We had three nights of Bible programming and actually had a series where we streamed that live. You can find that on our website at prophecyhope.com. If you go to prophecyhope.com, you'll find a number of lectures there, hundreds of sermons. And you'll find our newsletters on there. You'll find the archived radio programs. And you can find the series that we just did. It's a pretty user-friendly website. If you go there and you go to the left side, there are little drop-down menus, and you can find individual sermons. You can find sermons from different years. And we'd invite you to go there and look around a little bit. Also, I do want to thank Ray Powers because, you know, he has kept this program on the air for us. And even in times when we haven't been able to broadcast, he makes sure that each week, every Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, you all have something that's there. And, you know, that's quite a job. I appreciate all that he does keeping this network going. And we're just happy to be a part of the New Visions Radio family. If you ever want to study the Bible with us, we have a midweek Bible study at 7 p.m., and that's Eastern Time. If you're ever in this area and you'd like to join us, we would love to have you come and visit. Our location is 1743 West Beverly Street in Stanton, Virginia. Now, the other thing is we live stream our broadcast every weekend. Now, we meet on the Biblical Sabbath Saturday morning, and we meet at 9:30 Eastern Time for Sabbath School. And then we meet at 11 a.m. Eastern Time for worship. Now, our brother Ed, Brother Ed Short, he is the one that teaches Sabbath School most of the time. He's an outstanding teacher. And you can stream this Sabbath School and worship service at prophecyhope.com, right there on our website. And the streaming link is at the top left. If you have a Bible question, please feel free to email those to us. You can email them to us personally, or you can just send a general email. If you send a general email, it would go to office@prophecyhope.com. But if you'd like to email us personally, you can email me. I'm Mark. You can email me at mark@prophecyhope.com. You can email Rick at rick@prophecyhope.com. You can reach Ed at ed@prophecyhope.com. So today we'll be listening to a sermon that I gave. It's called As the Days of Noah Were. So let's begin with a word of prayer, and then we'll get the sermon going. Father in heaven, I just want to thank you for allowing us to come together here this evening and hear from your word. Father, we ask that as we listen to the sermon that we can hear the things that will draw us closer to you and your Son. Please guide us and direct us by your Spirit. And Father, we pray these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. So friends, again, the name of this sermon is As the Days of Noah Were, and after we listen to it, we'll come back for just a few closing comments. Recently, I've been getting a lot of emails and a lot of phone calls. People asking me, has the tribulation started? Do you think the tribulation is near? Do you think it's begun yet? How much longer do you think it's going to be before that happens? How can we know when the tribulation has started? Seems to be on top of everybody's mind. A lot of people. I'm getting dozens and dozens of these calls and questions. When I meet people, I was at the shop the other day, and somebody asked me the same question. And you know, how do you answer a question like that? You shouldn't do it from yourself. We need to answer it from God's Word. And it's led to some really good discussions. You know, it made me think. I was talking the other day while I was taking a walk the other morning. Rick and I were talking on the phone. And we were talking about how people are curious as to what's going on. You know, just the tribulation, what's happening. And for some reason, Rick brought up this illustration of, you know, when they're building a building, when you see ground break in a certain place, you see somebody breaking ground on a construction site, the first thing that comes to your mind is, what are they building over there? I wonder what's going to be there. What's it going to be like? And then soon what they tend to do, because curiosity will get you. If I'm curious enough, I'll stop and ask. And a lot of people will do that. They'll stop and ask. So what do? To keep the construction workers on the job and to keep them from being interrupted, they put up a sign, future home of whatever it's going to be. And that satisfies the curiosity to where most people aren't going to stop. And as we were talking about that, you know, I was thinking, does God give us markers as to where we are in the stream of time? Does he give us signs, like that sign saying, this is what's being built here? You know, when Noah was building the ark, we talked about that a little bit. When Noah was building the ark, I'm sure there wasn't a sign that he put out there, building the ark, preparing for the end of the world. So how did people know what he was doing? How did they know? I mean, when he was doing that, it had to be a tremendous building site. He didn't have a Home Depot or a Lowe's where he could go and buy the lumber and have it delivered to him, right? He had to go into the woods. They had to cut the trees. They had to get the tar. They had to do all of these things on their own. They did it by hand. Can you imagine the way things looked bringing this lumber, carrying it? I'm sure there were animals, beasts of burden that were used to pull some of these things to the construction site where this ark was being built. So it just got this whole thought going in my mind. You know, people want to know, just like you want to know about that construction site, what's going on? What are they building? Well, people see signs in the world that tell them that something is different today than it was 15 or 20 years ago, even 2 years ago. Things are different. What are the signs? How can I know? It's not posted on a board somewhere. So how do I know? Well, we have this old trusty thing right here. It's called the Word of God. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And this is loaded with truths that tell me not only about what have happened in the world, but what will happen. Many years from now, even. It looks into our future. It peers into things that we can't always understand. If we didn't have this, we wouldn't understand. In fact, we wouldn't have a seven-day week if it weren't for this book. This is where it originated, right here, the seven-day week. So let's just take a little time, and we're going to look at this phrase that Jesus used in Matthew 24. He said, as the days of Noah were. What does that mean? What does that mean? Well, take a look at the PowerPoint. Here it is. Matthew 24, verse 37. Jesus said, but as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. He's giving us, this is a sign. This is like putting a sign up. As the days of Noah were. Well, how do I find out what the days of Noah were like? This is where I find it. I find it in God's Word. That's where I look. What were things like in the days of Noah? Well, let's look at a few PowerPoint slides here of a few verses. Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, and Jehovah said, this is from the modern King James Version, and Jehovah said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for in his erring, he is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. So here Jehovah says, look, I'm not going to be with these people forever because they're living so badly. God can't dwell among sinners. He can't. So he gives them a timeline. He says, yet his days shall be 120 years. Well, let's continue in Genesis chapter 6. Notice verse 5. It says, and Jehovah saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Let's stop. Does that sound like today? Is this as the days of Noah were? Does it seem that the thoughts and intents of people's hearts seems to be only evil continually? Are you seeing that more and more? Does it seem to be ramping up, especially in the last few years? It's a sign. It's giving you, it's like putting that sign up in front of the building site. Verse 6, and Jehovah repented that he had made man on the earth, and he was angry to his heart. Can you imagine God saying, I'm sorry that I made man? It's so bad. I'm sorry that I made man. He regretted. He felt regret. And it angered him to his heart. Verse 7, and Jehovah said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for I repent that I have made them. In other words, I'm sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of Jehovah. Isn't that interesting? We talked about grace in Sabbath school. And we looked at the biblical definition of grace. And we said it's God showing us mercy that we don't deserve. So here in this wicked, wicked world, it was so bad that he wanted to wipe all humanity out. It was almost like he wanted to start over. This has gotten too bad. It's so bad, I'm going to wipe them out. But wait a minute. Ah, there's someone who's living right. Someone who's doing what I'm asking. And that was Noah. He found grace in the eyes of Jehovah. Let's continue on. Look at verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of Jehovah, and these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. Walking with God, what does that look like? That's right, Ed. Walking in the Spirit. You know, we look at that. If you look at Galatians chapter 5, it tells you what walking with God looks like. Let's take a moment just to look at that. Let's turn to Galatians. Let's just turn to Galatians chapter 5 just for a moment. We've done this many times, but this can't be spoken of enough, particularly in the world that we live in today. Because what the Galatians does here is it contrasts two things. Walking by the ways that I selfishly want to walk, and walking by the Spirit. And so let's see what the Bible actually has to say about this. Galatians chapter 5, and I'm going to start in verse 16. It says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So what? Weren't they walking according to the flesh? That's what we saw. They were walking according to the flesh. Noah must have been walking according to the Spirit. How do we know that? Well, let's continue reading in Galatians. Galatians 5:17, it says, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. In other words, you're not under the penalty of the law. It says, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. This is a time of judgment when it comes down to inheriting the kingdom of God. The days of Noah was a time of judgment for those people. Evidently, when we look at this and we look at the account of Noah, it was just like what we're reading here. That's what the Bible's telling us. But it doesn't stop there. It doesn't just show us, well, look at all these horrible things. If you're doing these horrible things, you're not going to get into the kingdom. No, God always provides a way for his people. Always. Verse 22, but it says, Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we are in the Spirit, let us also, there it is, walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So if Noah was walking with God, he was walking according to the things that we see here in Galatians chapter 5. He wasn't walking according to the things that we see in Galatians 5, 18 through 21. He was living according to the 22 through 24. It's very clear. If you're one of God's children, you're going to walk with God. You're going to walk with Him. You know the hymn, "And He walks with me and He talks with me." Do you walk with God? Are you separate from the world? Noah lived in this horrible place, yet he was singled out. He was singled out by the Most High God as being righteous enough to fulfill this work that God had for him to do and to follow through with it and to save lives, to save the world. Let's continue. Genesis chapter 6, verses 11 through 13 on the PowerPoint, it says, "The earth was also corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupted, for all flesh had corrupted its way upon the earth. And God said to Noah, 'The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth.'" Now we know that the earth was still there, but he destroyed the earth as Noah knew it at the time. He wiped out, he started over, but he preserved those who walked according to the Spirit, those who did his will. This is an important lesson. We look at this a lot of times as a fairy tale. A lot of children love the story of Noah's Ark, but it's not a story. It's history. It's an account. It happened. It happened. So let's pick it up in Genesis chapter 7. I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles there. Genesis chapter 7. And let's just begin in verse 1. I'm just going to kind of skip through this a little bit. Genesis 7 verse 1. It says, "Then the Lord," that's Jehovah or Yahweh, "said to Noah, 'Come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation.'" Oh boy, I would love to be called righteous in the eyes of our Creator. That should be the goal of each and every one of us. And we can't do it in ourselves, but somehow Noah was considered righteous. And it's because of that walk that he had. Verse 2. "You shall take with you 7 each of every clean animal, a male and his female, 2 each of animals that are unclean, a male and his female." Now, I'm including this because we look here, nothing has changed. There was an identity here of what was clean and unclean. Not only with how Noah lived his life, but God had specifics. Noah knew the difference between what God considered a clean animal and what God considered an unclean animal. And this is before what most people would call the Mosaic Law or the Law of Moses. It's very important that we understand that. Verse 3, "Also 7 each of the birds of the air, male and female, to keep the species alive on the face of all the earth." So here he's even showing love for the animal kingdom. He loves his creation. Verse 4, "For after 7 more days, I will cause it to rain on the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and I will destroy from the face of the earth all living things that I have made." Now, he says, "I'm going to destroy all living things which I have made." We know that the sea creatures lived, and we know that those that were put on the ark remained. They lived. So let's skip down to verse 7. And we're just going to kind of skip through this. Read this account sometime when you have time. Verse 7, it says, "So Noah with his sons, his wife, and his sons' wives went into the ark because of the waters of the flood." So here it is, 7 days before the flood began, and they're boarding the ark. So let's pick it up in verse 13. It says, "On the very same day, Noah and Noah's sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Noah's wife and 3 wives of his sons with them entered the ark. And every beast after its kind, cattle after their kind, every creeping thing that creeps on the earth after its kind, and every bird after its kind, every bird of every sort. And they went into the ark, to Noah, two by two, all of flesh in which is the breath of life. So those that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God had commanded him. And Jehovah, the Lord, in other words, is what it says here, the Lord shut them in. What does that mean? You know, in the literal language, it means that he sealed them. He gives them a means to get away from the world and seals them in the ark. When I look at this, this is not just a Bible account, but this is also, in a sense, can be considered prophetic in how God will look out for his people at the end of time when the tribulation starts. Because God's people are sealed. He prepares his people. He prepared them. Imagine the work that it was to build that ark. Imagine what it must have been like I said, to be on that site. You know, when you think about being sealed, when those people were there, who closed the door? Noah didn't pull it up or close it or what, however it was. God closed it. God closed the door and he separated what was his from those that were not. This is the work that's going to take place. This is what should be happening now. This separation work between God's people, God's children, and the world. And how do we see that separation? How do we find that separation? How do we know there's a separation? Well, you ask yourself, am I walking with God? Am I walking according to the Spirit, those fruitages of the Spirit that we saw in Galatians 5, or am I walking according to the flesh, like the rest of the world when we look around us? Another thing, and this is a very sensitive and touchy subject. It says here in verse 16 of chapter 7, those who entered the ark, male and female. It doesn't list 43 different gender types. There are two genders, amongst the animal kingdom and amongst humanity. And if anybody believes anything else, you're not walking with God. You're walking according to the flesh. These things have to be said. We have to know that. It's got to be pointed out. If we're not pointing to the obvious, then people are going to miss it. So, just think of the faith that it took. Do you think Noah was ridiculed? What are you doing? People were probably stopping, just like we were talking about that construction site at the beginning. Hey, what's going on here? I'm sure he didn't have a sign up, I'm building the ark. So people were stopping. Hey, what is going on? Look at this massive structure. It's more than a football, 1.5 football fields in length. Over 3 stories high. They're building this massive chest and sealing it with tar so that it will float. It had never rained before, according to the Bible account. I believe it because the Bible says it. And he's telling people, look, a time of judgment is coming. If you want to be saved, let's go this way. This is the road to life, right here. Here's the path, the pathway up through the door. Wait a minute. There's somebody today that we call the door. Who is that? That's Jesus Christ. That's the way to salvation. You got to walk through the door. So their way to salvation was to walk through that door and be sealed in safety in God's care. Can you imagine what it must have been like when the rain starts pouring down from the heavens, and it says also shooting up from the earth? And they're inside this thing. What faith did it take to say, we're safe? We're going to be okay, especially when that thing moved for the first time and it comes off the foundation and it's rocking back and forth. What was that like? I hope to ask Noah that. What was it like to be on that ark? What was the most challenging part of building it? How many people did you tell about it? How many people actually helped you with it? Maybe people did help. So, let's move along. Let's look at Jesus' words. Let's go to Matthew chapter 24. I'm just trying to paint a picture for you because remember, these are real accounts. These things actually happened. And if we believe in Jesus, then he tells us that it really existed right here in Matthew 24. And what we're going to do is we're going to start with in a verse where we're very familiar with. We're going to start in verse 29. Because this is where this is what I said at the outset of this sermon. I mentioned that people ask me all of the time, "Has the tribulation begun? Is it going? Is it close? Is it? When's it start?" Well, let's look at Jesus' words. It says in verse 29, it says, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the signs of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other." Now, learn from this parable. From the fig tree, when the branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the doors. It's as if he's putting up the sign. How do I know it's autumn? How do I know it's fall right now? Well, the weather's getting cooler. The sun's in a different position. It's more south now than it normally is. So I know winter time's coming. The leaves are starting to change color. All of these things tell me the season that we're living in. And that's what Jesus is saying. Pay attention. That's how you know. That's how you know. Verse 34, it says, "Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away." Verse 36, "But of the day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only." So, when people ask, and this is a common question, when's it happen? Well, this is the verse I would quote. When is the world going to end? "That day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but our Father only." That's who knows. But we do have composite signs. We have things that tell us it's getting ever closer. Don't give up. Don't tire out. Don't tire out. Look at verse 36 again. "Nobody knows the day or hour, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only." And then what's he say? The very next words out of his mouth, this is Jesus speaking, verse 37 of Matthew 24, "But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the Son of Man be." So this is telling us that there are some people who, no matter how much they see or know, no matter how much you preach to them, no matter how much you tell them, they're not going to pay attention. They're not going to hear it. They don't want to know. And they're going to be swept away. Verse 40, "Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know," here it is again, "you do not know what hour your Lord is coming." He doesn't say it once, he says it twice. Verse 43, "But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allow his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." He gives us the season.
He tells us what to look for. He tells us it's going to be like the days of Noah. He gives us all of these signs. It's like putting a sign on the construction site. This is what's going to happen. This is going to be built. Are you reading the sign? Are you looking at it? If you want to know what's going to happen, read the sign that's up. It's all right here. It's all right here. And what's he say? Be ready. Be ready. Doesn't matter if it's 100 years from now, be ready. If it's tomorrow, be ready. I've used this illustration, so not an illustration, but this advice that my dad gave me so many times. So many times. I remember when I was a kid, I was part of a church group that had insinuated that the end of the world was going to come at a specific time. It's unfortunate I was part of that, but I was. And, you know, people have done that quite a few times, even in our lifetime. That's been done over and over. In fact, just about 10 years ago, there was a man who had predicted the end of the world at this particular time. And I remember when that time came and went, we kept going to church, but a lot of the church dwindled away. And about half of the friends that I knew as a kid, I was 11 at the time, about half of the kids that I knew at that time had just disappeared. They were gone from the congregation that we were in. And I asked my dad, what happened? What's going on? And he says, well, you know, he says, sometimes people serve God for a selfish reason or maybe for a specific time period because they're expecting something to happen. He says, but, you know, my advice to you, this is one of the two best pieces of advice I've ever gotten in my life. He said, my advice to you is to live your life. You live your life like Jesus is coming tomorrow. Or today, actually, was the word he says. You live your life like the world's going to end today, but you plan your life like you're going to die an old man in this world. So what's that mean? What was he telling me? Be ready. Just be ready. Doesn't matter when he comes. It really doesn't. Whether it's in our lifetime or not, it doesn't matter when he comes. Be ready. Because he's coming at an hour that you do not expect. Walk with God. Walk with his son. Noah walked with God. That's what the Bible tells us. So let's look a little further. Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. And let's see what it says here. See if this doesn't sound familiar to you. 2 Peter 3, I'm going to begin in verse 1. It says, Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that existed perished, being flooded with water. Now wait a minute. Jesus talked about this flood. And here Peter is talking about this flood. Are they credible? I believe they are. It happened. And he's referring to that as a warning, saying it's going to be similar. Verse 6. I think I just read that, but let's read it again. By which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. My beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. Don't get lost on that verse. So many people look at that and they take it symbolically to think that it changes the creative days, and it doesn't. The context is that God is timeless. It's just a blip on the screen to him. The older I get, I said to somebody the other day, it seems like the weeks are going by like days. It's because we're getting older. The time goes much faster. It's just a small portion of your life. It's much smaller now than it was when you were 2 or 3 years old. It's just a little tiny portion. When I was 5, a year was 1/5 of my life. Now I'm 55. A year is 1/55th of my life, right? It's a big difference. So, again, it says in verse 8, "Beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day." And here's the contrast. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. It says, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You see, God loved his creation so much in Noah's day that he built the ark not just to save humanity, but to save the animals as well. And in his foresight, he knew that only a few would choose to be on the ark. Let's pick it up in verse 10. 2 Peter 3, verse 10. "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up." So, the earth will exist just like it existed in Noah's day. It says the earth was destroyed. But it's talking about the things on the earth. This planet will always be, this ball, this terra firma, it will not be moved, according to the Bible. It will always be. But the works, the things that are in it, will be burned up. Because we know there's going to be a new heavens and a new earth. Look at verse 11. "Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for," there it is, "new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells." It's kind of like when the reformers came here to America for the first time, they called it the New World. They called it the New World because they were starting over and they could believe what they wanted to believe and they could worship how they wanted to worship. They could worship God free from a pope and from a king. Well, here, this is where true worship is completely restored, like it was before sin. So, verse 14, "Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless." You know what I hear that saying? Walking with God. That's what that's talking about. How can I walk with God if I'm blemished? I have to be without spot and blameless to be in the presence of the Father. Verse 15, "And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, so true, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of scriptures." Wow, do we see that happening today? The twisting of scripture. Verse 17, "You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen." So when we read this account, and we look at the things that happened in Noah's day, we look at what took place, we look at how Jesus is telling us, it's going to be like it was then. We look at Peter's telling us, it's going to be like it was then. These are the signs. These are the things that we look for. It's getting to that point. And remember, these accounts, they're real. They're history. They're events. They're not just stories. So let's look at a couple more texts on the PowerPoint. I've got just a few more for you. John chapter 10, verses 7 through 10. It says on the PowerPoint, this is from the New King James Version, "Then Jesus said to them again, 'Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep.'" Remember, I mentioned that God had a door put in the side of the ark, and he closed that door behind. It says, some Bible translation says, they walked through the door and he sealed it behind them. "Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep." Verse 8, "All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door," Jesus says. "If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." In Noah's day, there was a door they had to walk through. That was the way to their salvation, was walking through that door. And if anyone entered through that door, they would be saved. And Jesus is saying, if you enter through him, you will be saved. Next text I'd like to share with you is Romans 10, 8 through 10. Paul writes this. It says, "The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach." Let me ask you, we, who's the we? These are those who are walking with God. Was the word that Noah preached a word of salvation? Absolutely. So let's start over. "The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will," doesn't say you might, perhaps you will, no, "you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." What does that mean? Well, you know, like I said, when there's a building site, usually they'll put up a sign so that you're not disturbing them while they're building. Well, what are we doing? We're building for the kingdom of God. And instead of just putting up a sign, we need to be actively promoting what's being built in the heavens. What's been built. The thing that's already been laid, the foundation is down. Jesus is the cornerstone. The church has to be built, and the building continues. What's the construction site look like? Is there a sign? We are the sign. We're the ones who are alerting people, who are telling them that we're the letters on that board. And our words go out. They point to the word of God, which is where salvation comes from. Look at verse 10 again. "For with the heart one believes unto righteousness." So if you've got this in your heart, what are you going to do next? It says, "And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." So if you truly believe, you can't shut your mouth. You won't be able to be silent. You can't help yourself. It's just going to flow out. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Matthew 24, 14 tells us that this good news, this gospel of the kingdom, shall be preached to all the nations, right? And then the end will come. The Bible tells us that Noah was a preacher. He was saving lives. There was a construction site. He was trying to get people to listen. One more text. Hebrews 11, 6 and 7. This was our scripture reading for today. "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." It doesn't say those who say, "Well, yeah, I'm going to look every now and then." No, diligently. If you do something diligently, what does that mean? You're after it all the time. You're going after it. Are you diligently seeking God? Do you want to walk with Him? Are you running into His arms or from Him like Adam and Eve did? That's the question we have to ask. Well, our lifestyle will tell us which one we're doing, how we live. So diligently seeking Him. Look at verse 7, Hebrews 11, 7. It says, by faith, Noah, wow, even Paul, or whoever wrote Hebrews, I believe it was Paul, he speaks about Noah being divinely warned of all things not yet seen, of things not yet seen, rather, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is according to faith. So, one of the things that I want to suggest to you is this. I was talking to one of our brothers in California. Actually, I'll tell you, it was Brother Juan. I was talking to Brother Juan the other day. And it came to my attention while I was talking to him that we tend to gauge our success as ministers or as a ministry by numbers. Why is that? I mean, the Bible reports 3,000 baptized, 5,000 baptized. I think it's good that we have those references, but do we gauge the success of ministry by the numbers? Should we? You know, if we were to gauge Noah's success by numbers, we would say, he didn't have a very fruitful ministry. Because out of the millions of people who were alive at that time, only eight survived. Wow. But from that eight, there are 8 billion roughly on the earth today. So, was his ministry successful? It preserved humanity, however few it was. His family was with him. By his example, he was called righteous. I don't see where it calls his family righteous, but by his example, his family was saved. It's kind of like in Israel, by those people coming and going along with the Israelites, they could come out of Egypt when they came out. Now, I'm going to tell you that your family can't save you. You have to have a personal relationship with Christ. As the days of Noah were, things were bad. You see, it took a measure of faith to walk onto that ark. That's why I say your family can't save you. Even though Noah was considered the righteous one, the family had to have faith to get on that ark. And you know, wouldn't it look pretty foolish if somebody said, I'm going to get on the ark, and they get on, and then nothing happens, and then they have to come off? They'd say, wow, now I'm a mockery. Well, the flood happened. And just as sure as the flood happened, we're told by Jesus, we're told by Peter, we're told by the book of Hebrews, that the world's going to, and throughout the Bible, that the flood happened, and something even more catastrophic is going to happen. But not just a catastrophe. Lives are going to be saved. There's going to be a preservation. Things were bad. So my encouragement to you is keep the faith. Be ready. Keep on the watch. Pay attention to the things that are going on around you. But more than that, rather than get wrapped up, because it can pull you down. You start watching these things around you, it can get to you. Focus on God's Word. Focus on God's Word. The day and the hour no man knows. But one thing is certainly for sure, and that is that there is a construction site. The construction site is the whole world. And they have to be reached with the message that the end is coming, that Jesus is coming, whether it's in our lifetime or not. We need to be ready. Hearts need to be prepared. Because at some point, the house will be built, or we could say the ark will be built, and it'll be time to walk through the door and have it sealed behind us. And once that sealing happens, There's no changing camps. Once God sealed the door to the ark, do you think anybody could get through it? No. The decision was made. And there were 7 days that they sat on that ark waiting. That took a measure of faith, too. Makes me wonder what was going through their minds. Wow, we did all this work. Is it really going to happen? I can't imagine Noah thought that. I can't imagine that. Just as sure as I think Noah was that the flood was going to happen, and he prepared that ark and he built that immense ship, him and his family, I'm just as convinced as he was that Christ is going to return the way that the Bible tells me. I believe it because God said it. At some point, Jesus is coming. Don't get wrapped up in when. Don't worry about trying to predict the future, trying to figure out when the tribulation starts. Because according to what the Bible tells me, once that tribulation starts, that door is sealed. So be ready. You want to be inside. You want the door closed behind you, not in front of you. So I hope that talking about these things, we'll stop worrying about, did the tribulation start? Is it going to start soon? Because I believe once it does, we're going to know it. I don't think there'll be any doubt in our mind once that time period starts. So keep the faith, friends. Keep studying. Keep reading. Remember that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And without Him, we don't have an ark. The ark isn't a church or an organization. It's not a ministry or a group of men. It's nothing like that. It's not this ministry. Jesus is the way to salvation, just like that ark of Noah's day was the way of salvation. The door to the ark, they had to walk through it. So let's walk through that door, Jesus Christ, together and into God's kingdom.
Well, friends, the name of that sermon was As the Days of Noah Were. And I gave that last year in 2021. And you know, it just seems like the closer and closer we get to the coming of Christ, the more people are either, they're being more divided. They're either paying more attention to what's going on in the Bible, or they're moving themselves away from the Bible. And you know, it's my prayer that people will come closer and closer to Jesus Christ and develop a relationship with Him. And if you haven't considered that, if you're skeptical, you know, some people listen to these sermons and they're very skeptical about the Bible. And I would encourage you to test it. Read through it. Test those things. Compare what you see in the Bible with history. And I think you'll be pleasantly surprised, even if you are a critic, of the cohesiveness and how consistent the Bible is. Now, one thing that some of you have heard me say a number of times, and I just want to say this before we go off the air, is some people will say that the Bible is contradictory. Well, it contradicts itself. And what my experience has been, this is just for me personally, is whenever I've come across something in the Bible that seems contradictory, it's not the Bible that's contradicting itself. It's my lack of understanding. And there are things that, let's face it, when I read the Bible, I look at it and I say, well, wait a minute, I'm seeing something here that's conflicting. But if I'm patient, and I pray about it, and I continue to study, and I continue to read these things, as my knowledge increases in the Scriptures, I find that as time goes on, I see, well, wait a minute, that's not contradictory at all. I didn't understand, maybe it was the setting, maybe it was what was leading into it, maybe I didn't read enough of the context of what that particular verse said. So please, you know, open your Bibles and study them. Don't just read, do a cursory reading. Reading is great. It's good to do that. But I would encourage you to get yourself a concordance, get yourself a Bible dictionary, or there are lots of tools on the internet that you can use to do these things. And one of the things that I like, and this is not an endorsement, we get nothing out of it, but eSword.net. It's e-sword.net. You can probably Google that. It's a great free Bible resource, and they have Bibles on there that you can purchase also. And you can contribute to them if you choose to. It's just right there on the website. But we're not related to them at all. It's just a great resource that I really appreciate, and I'm glad that it's there. But I want to remind you, we're here every Sunday, 7 p.m. on New Visions Radio. Again, I want to thank Ray Powers for keeping us on the air. I want to thank all of you faithful listeners who listen every week and send us correspondence. We really appreciate it. And friends, you know, it's just such a blessing to be here with you each week. Hopefully Rick and Ed will be back very, very soon. We have some activities going on this fall that we're doing. And because of that, our schedules conflict quite often. And not everybody's free on Sunday evenings. And so, you know, when we come together to do this, we're not always available. But I try to make sure that I'm here as often as I can be, and they will do the same. So before we go, I want to remind you, prophecyhope.com is our website. You can go there every week and live stream our worship service, which is Saturday mornings. And let's go ahead now, and we'll close with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we just thank you so much for the privilege of knowing you and your Son, Jesus. Thank you for this time that we've had. Father, please be with those who are listening. Please open their minds and eyes and ears and hearts to what you have to say, not to what any man or preacher has to say, but Father, help them to understand the times that we're living in and how Jesus can make a difference in their lives. Please be with us. Keep us safe until we come together again. And Father, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. So friends, we hope to see you here again next week, Sunday, 7 p.m., New Visions Radio. And until then, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.